Good evening and welcome to the planning and development portion of our evening. Today is Wednesday, March 12th. This is planning and development for Kenosha County. On our staff, we have Supervisor Decker, Supervisor Dodge, Supervisor Skolitsky. Supervisor Underhill is excused tonight. We have our two youth and governance members, Emily and Ashley. On our staff this evening, we have Andy Bueller, April Webb, and our newest member is Chris Mason, who is the Director of Facilities. We'll go ahead and get started this evening. Item number 9 on the agenda is going to remain tabled. And we'll start with number...
Switch ways.
This is...
Switch.
Okay, we'll start with item number 7. This is a... Item number 6 is a conditional use permit for Stopa LLC, Randall and Salem. 11931 Fox River Road, Wilmot, Wisconsin, 53192. Owner, Dennis Sheen, Wilmot Mountain Flea Market, Inc., 11931 Fox River Road, Wilmot, Wisconsin, 53192. Agent, requesting a conditional use permit to allow continued use of the Wilmot Market for a period of 3 years in the PR1 Park Recreational District on tax parcels number 60-4-119-364-0103, located in the east half of Section 36, Town of Randall, and number 67-4-120-313-0401, located in the west half of Section 31 in the Town of Salem. Mr. Sheen, please step forward. State your name and address for the record and tell us why you're here today.
Should I use this?
Yes. I believe that
one's on the right. Is it working? Okay. Dennis Sheen, 11931 Fox River Road, representing Stopa LLC. And we're here to, we've been doing this for how many years now?
6 years.
Yeah. And we're going to continue for another 3 years.
Okay, how's it going out there?
Great. I mean, each year it gets a little bit larger. We're pretty close to capacity, not quite there yet.
Okay. Good. Do you have any questions from the committee? Supervisor Skolitsky?
Mr. Sheen, any reason that you don't want a permanent conditional use permit?
A permanent one? We have requested it. We'd love to get one, but we never really have gone that route.
We talked about 5 years. Well, we asked for 5 years. Yeah. And we closed the city for 3 years. So that's what we did. If we were able to get a permanent permit, then
okay, so at this point, 3 was what you recommended to?
Well, yeah, the county recommended, Van Buell Court recommended 3. He said next time if we wanted to go 5, he would consider it. But we're willing to do whatever's necessary.
We started this on 1 year, right?
Yeah,
for a couple of years.
3 1 year, and then we went to 3. This would be our second 3.
There have been any issues along those 4 different times you've applied for a conditional use permit that you haven't met the requirements of the conditional condition stated?
No.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Seeing none, do I have I'm right over some time. Anyone to speak in favor of this petition? Anyone in favor? Anyone against this petition? Anyone against? Andy from the town?
First, I'll just mention that, this item and all the items on the agenda were posted in the Kenosha News as a Class 2 notice on February 27th and March 4th. On this particular item, it did have to go to the town of Randall and to the town of Salem, since the property is in both townships. For the town of Randall, the town board met on February 27th, 2014, and they approved the item. In the town of Salem, they met on March 11th, and they also approved the item.
I make a motion to approve the conditional use permit with the conditions listed.
Second.
I have a first by Supervisor Decker and a second by Supervisor Skolitsky. Any other questions? Youth and governance?
Hi.
Committee?
Aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye, your conditional use permit is approved. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, and she has a favor to be assigned. Item number seven is a conditional use permit for Country Thunder East LLC, 234 Space Park Drive South, Nashville, Tennessee, 37211 Agent, Arena One LLC, 6999 East Business, 1-20 Suite 1, Odessa, Texas, 79762, Richard and Sandra Diedrich, 2000 Richmond Road, Twin Lakes, Wisconsin, 53181, Russell Brothers, LLC, 11909 Richmond Road, Twin Lakes, Wisconsin, 53181, owners, requesting a conditional use permit for a country music festival, July 24th through the 27th, 2014, with an assembly over 5,000 people on the following tax parcels. Number 60-4-119-304-0405, Irving 1 LLC. Number 60-4-119-304-0100, Diedrich. And part of 60-4-119-311-0200, Russell, located in the southeast and southwest quarter of Section 30 and the northwest quarter of Section 31 in the town of Randall. And there's a lot of new faces here for this, so if you could all, what I would like you to do is just introduce yourselves to everyone. Oh, only one of them? Okay, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Come on up. They look like we were all together.
We're family.
We're so nice.
They're crowded.
Please state your name and address for the record and tell us why you're here.
My name is Ivan Purnell. I live at 941 Daisy Drive, Genoa City, Wisconsin. I've been hired by the new owners of Shadow Hill Ranch. Unfortunately, Mr. Harry Luge has passed on and miss him dearly, but there's new people now. I've been hired to property manage and maintain the premises in their absence. The owners live in Texas now, and they have a concert coming up early April in Arizona, so all eyes are on that particular concert. So they called me, and they got a lot of requests, I guess, from people they talked to that the place was more maintained when I owned it. So myself, for those of you who don't know, I'm the originator of the original applicant for this conditional use in 1995-96, I believe. I was almost 20 years younger and 60 pounds lighter, but and the only person that's still here is Andy, but he's moved up the ladder, obviously, so nice to meet you all. My number will be available through their office if there are any questions or issues that may arise that I can answer. I do know the property quite well. I did probably about 95% of the current infrastructure that's still there was installed by me and my company. And we have applied for roofing permits. We have finished a few. We're doing painting, soffit, fascia, taking out some of the, what I would call, beyond their time trailers and some of the structures that Mr. Barr had left. And I think you folks will be very happy with the grounds as a whole come July. With that, any questions?
I'm sure that we do.
I'll do what I can. I'm a little green at this. I haven't been here in 9 years.
right. Supervisor Skolitsky?
Can you, I've been out there, but it's been a little while. And obviously there are some things that need to be removed, and it sounds like you guys are taking steps to kind of upgrade things. Are you thinking about building any new structures or renovating other than the things that you just mentioned? Can you be a little more specific?
We have, at this time, there are no new structures on the table that I'm aware of. There may be some cracked concrete that might need some replacing, some walls that have, you know, some retaining walls that have had some issues. We did a lot of that work last year for them. The current structures that are there, one they call the skybox, the large building at the top, that's getting some roof repairs as soon as the snow decides to go away. There was some rodent damage from the raccoons and stuff that they, you know, people just weren't taking care of. They didn't live there, they lived in Arizona. Basically, it's just one building at a time. We get permits through Randall, and they've been, I got to tell you, in the 20 years I've had this, been around this concert, seen a lot of management come and go, and I'm sure Andy has too. These people are on top of it. They're very thorough. The girls, April Arbor, out of Nashville, she kind of runs things. She's a young girl, but I'll tell you, she's on top of things. Brian, who basically I believe is the money man from the coordinators of the concert and the Grams, are very successful businessmen for a reason. They run a very tight ship. I wouldn't be there if they weren't. I had some issues with Mr. Barr, and I'm sure everybody did, and so therefore I had to part company with him. That's the only reason I left. Just could not deal with his way of doing things. And these folks that brought me back, I gave it a try, and I got to tell you, that's probably the most organized company I've worked with in this industry. It's a difficult industry. Stars are tough to work with at times. Just the whole package is difficult, stressful. But they got their ducks in a row.
Well, in person, I'm very excited that it seems to me that it's a very proactive organization. Just the fact that we're seeing this application here in March is remarkable because we're used to seeing it.
Well, fortunately for me or for you folks, I am familiar with the concert, quite familiar with it. The only reason that I'm probably here is because they are so getting ready for their April concert, which is a lot of work. And I'm glad to be here, and I may be a part of this from the future on. We'll see how it goes. But, they come up with some great ideas. I don't know if you're aware, they're doing a shuttle service now, which we had talked about many years ago. They're going to have shuttles out of, let me check my notes here, a shuttle out of Lake Geneva, Elkhorn, Kenosha, Fontana, and Richmond, Illinois. And these shuttles are going to run throughout the concert hours, similar to a bus service. So a lot of people can either catch these shuttles and get back to their parking areas. As you well know, there's quite a few riding parks in our area. They don't get used much, especially on weekends, so it's perfect. And we'll see how that goes. I'm sure it's an experiment at this time. But they also are, instead of towing vehicles or impounding vehicles that they've done in the past because they're left behind in the parking area, the idea behind that years ago with our camp director was there shouldn't be any vehicles left in the parking lot, or they're illegally here, they've snuck into the campgrounds or whatever, so made it difficult for them, they would impound their vehicles. Well, now we're going to allow in a certain area overnight vehicles for those that may be overserved or got tied up with somebody, went home with somebody else, so they don't have that burden of hitting the highways even though they've had too much to drink. So that's a great idea. The roads are always an issue. I've been asked to bring the roads back to their original state, which is they need to be crowned so they drain a little better, less potholes. These things will take time, but I think by July we'll have control of it. They had asked me to do an evaluation of the roads, and I said, well, April, that'd be great, but you'd have to be here. That was last week. We've had a little bit of thaw, and thank God we have. We ducked the bullet last night with the 6 inches I heard we were going to get. But as soon as I can evaluate the roads, I will. And again, they run a very tight ship. They'll give me a budget to work with. It's like clockwork. So it's been a pleasure working with them so far.
Great. And we're excited, we're very supportive of the event, of the grounds, and to see that they're investing in a business proposition that will benefit Kenosha County as well as the surrounding area. That's exciting. Brought on something that's knowledgeable about it. You seem very enthusiastic. So those are all encouraging things for me as I sit here. And anything that we can do as a board to help you guys out be successful, don't hesitate to come and talk to Andy or one of us.
Absolutely. I've seen a lot of improvements. Like I said, in the short time I've known these folks, I tell them what needs to be done. And they just arrange it and we do it. And they didn't hire my company. We did, like I said, we built most of those buildings. 20 years ago, and like I told them, and 20 years ago, roofs didn't last forever. Now they guarantee them forever, but we'll have to see how that works out. But they installed a new well last year, which really helped a lot. It always needed another well. I think they're on time, but I really do. I don't foresee any problems, and if I did, I'd tell you.
Good.
And I'm hoping, too, since I'm going to be there this year, we'll go back to the old way instead of waiting till the end of the line here. This is great that we're here, but there are some things that you can't answer this early on, like who's going to take care of the garbage. You know, these are all out for bids right now. Typically, most of our people that handle sanitation, like Pat's been there since day one. I'm sure they put it out for bids to keep everyone green, but I'm pretty sure that Alan will be out there to take care of things. He does a nice job. Waste management, I'm sure, is involved. They have been for many years. They do things a lot different. They don't have that VIP food thing anymore. I mean, Mr. Barr has hands on every item in the concert, which ran a little short on staff here and there. So I think it's a much better plan. They don't do the VIP feedback like they used to. There's a reserve seating and X amount, and that's it. When they're sold, they're sold. To my knowledge, camping is a sold out. I was to tell you that the only thing that's changed since last year is they have an additional 215 campsites, bringing us to 4,421 total, and it is sold out. There are some tickets left, but not many deals. That's it. We're ready to roll again. We're looking at full capacity of 33,000 a day.
Ivan, can you tell us where those new campsites are?
I can't. Without going through my notes. I would say they're probably in what they call a big town.
Was that up in this area up here?
I would say they'd be in the Dietrich zone, the A2 zoning.
Up in here?
Right in there, yes. Okay. I believe they add like two, it's one road which would give a double side, and that's where they come up with it.
Okay.
They call it Big Rig or something like that. I'm a little out of touch with all the names. I can go through a list if you'd like.
Well, you can provide that information to our office, and I think the other thing that we would also like, Ivan, is that you had mentioned some of the work that you're doing in the buildings there. If you could provide us that information of what work is being done and which buildings.
Well, it would be a matter of public record through the village. I don't know anything.
Yeah, no, but if you could have a map or put something together to show. You know, number them.
The scope of the work that intended to be done this year?
Number the buildings and then just explain what things are planned for each one.
Okay.
I think it'll be helpful. It'll be great to have in the file because there's always concerns as to what's happening. As you know, four years ago, there was quite a bit of exodus of buildings out there by this committee and just because of
the buildings weren't there when
problems. So, if you could provide that, we would greatly appreciate it.
You bet. That's simple. There's not that many left, if you noticed. Pretty simple. I can give you the numbers on the campgrounds. General campsite number one has 553 campsites. General campsite number two has 1,198 campsites. Preferred campground, which is the one in question, has 1,318. Miller campsite has 1,271. And Encore campsite has 515.
And you said that they were all sold out?
They are sold out. The only camping available at all is on grounds for staff only. So. Anything else?
Anything else?
Question.
Yes.
Those numbers that are sold out, is that included that wetlands area? Down in the blue, right there.
That would be Russell. Is that South Road by the C1 there?
Yeah, it's 119th.
119th South Road or something they call it?
Yeah.
That would also include that, yes.
Including the wetlands?
Well, there's no camping in the wetlands, but it goes around it. There's the map's not very conclusive there. That it actually has you see the C1? If you could
right here.
That section is the wetlands.
Right.
There's no camping.
This area right here, I think, is what Supervisor Dodd is referring to. My understanding from Country Thunder and speaking to them.
We have completely ejected that entire area.
Right.
That whole square. I don't know when they stretched into that. It was after my time, but I always knew that flooded from time to time.
Right. I think they had indicated that they'll know how close they can get to it based upon the weather this summer, that they were going to hold off.
Correct.
Selling any other campsites until within 2 weeks of the event.
I think what may have happened there is on 119th Street, when they did the industrial stuff there, some tiles, some earlier farm tiles that may have been installed, who knows when, may have been cut, crushed, or something, because that used to drain fairly well, now it doesn't.
And that's our understanding. It has been presented to us by the Russells that they were at some point maybe going to go in and fix those tiles.
Find out what's wrong.
At this point, they have not done so.
But it did drain in the past, but it was hayfield. It wasn't used as camping when I was around. We never crossed over 100, help me out there.
It's 119.
119. We never crossed over that in my time.
Ivan, planning and development has spent years trying to get the whole property cleaned up out there, and so you can understand our concern. We did a huge removal of all of those trailers out there. The bunkhouses needed repair. You know, the concrete was all cracked up. A couple years ago, we went out there, and there was some dumping that was happening in one of the bowls.
Some of the what?
There was dumping. There was construction stuff that was left over. There were mattresses that were dumped in a bowl in the shallow area, and then it was being covered over with dirt. There was mattresses, linoleum, insulation, and it was being covered over with dirt. So we did have that removed. We just want to make sure that the...
That had to be my old pond.
That's correct. Your pond.
Yeah, I used to make snow out of that pond, and they started filling it in after I left.
So we, you know, you can see our
oh,
concern.
Absolutely.
We've brought it a long way since you've left, and other people were out there, and we just want to make sure that it doesn't go back.
Well, it wasn't like that when I was there. I've been gone for almost 10 years, so.
Okay.
That was a pond, not a hole to fill in. But
right.
That was one of our problems with the prior, what would we call Mr. Barr? Anyway, the Country Thunder official, Mr. Barr, liked trailers. He just couldn't get enough of them for whatever reason. But you have to understand, he had his hands in everything. He managed all the food, almost all the vending. You know, the VIP thing, it was just a huge staffing problem. So where do you put, when you already don't have enough motels for an event this large in the area, where do you put 300 staff? So that's what those bunk houses and all that stuff you're talking about. And I never cared for it. That was our problem. And after I left, I'm not exaggerating, there had to be 40 more trailers brought in. I mean, because I had the Haunted Forest, I did the Wind and Thunder Challenge, we had several events, we did weddings, we kept the place fairly nice, except for his stuff. But it's been a lot of it removed. I think there's only a shower house. Oh, that is one thing that I was to bring up, but I'll have to come to, I'll start with Randall, obviously, it's their jurisdiction, is about installing a staff shower house instead of that trailer structure that they have in the rear of the property. Been told to look into that, but I haven't got to that yet. Again, you couldn't even drive around the property. The snow was so deep. There is one bunkhouse out of the three. One I remodeled last year and did a roof on, you know, repaired it, I should say. Put a skirt on it and a few other things, got rid of the rodent problems. And one may not be salvageable. And I'll determine that this spring when we get the melt. At that point, I'll pull a permit, we'll pull it out of there and dispose of it. We won't bury it. We'll put it in dumpsters and away it goes. They're really not. I don't know why they started that, just tearing them up and trying to burn them and everything else. They smash down to nothing and the rest of it's steel, and you just haul, anyone will take the steel these days for nothing. So, and that's what we did last year. I think we got rid of two more smaller units that they had in what they call their boneyard. And now they're just down to, I think, one trailer there and a couple of containers, 40-foot containers that are nice, neatly sealed up. And so I think you're going to see a big difference.
Okay.
But I don't think you were around when I was there.
No, I wasn't. I came in right after that.
So we had a nursery, flower shop. We did weddings. But kept it fairly nice. I did have a construction business, so there was always that stuff around. Trailers here and there, but during the event, all that stuff was moved. But I'm back. We'll make it look nice. So as far as buildings goes, I will put a list together, and I'll see that it gets to Andy's office and can be distributed to everyone.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? Comments? Anyone to speak for this? Anyone in favor? Anyone against? Anyone against? Andy from the town.
Tom Randall, town board, met on this item on February 27th, and the item passed.
I make a motion to approve the conditional use permit with the conditions stated.
Second.
I have a first by Supervisor Decker and a second by Supervisor Dodge. Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Your conditional use permit is approved.
I will, I think we have a lot of stuff they have to get you by July 3rd. I'll see that you have that full list of repair and what we intend to do by then.
Right, there's a list of dates for all the different items, and we know that they're all coming in. A lot of them are in the month of July.
Okay, item number 8 is on the table, and I would need a motion to remove that.
I make a motion to remove the table.
Second.
I have a first by Supervisor Decker and a second by Supervisor Skolitsky. Can you move item number 8 from the table? You can go.
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Chair votes aye. The item is removed from the table. This is a rezoning from Michael L. and Susan M. Sorensen of Summers, 3119 4th Street, Kenosha, Wisconsin, 53144. Owner requesting a rezoning from A2 General Agricultural District and R2 Suburban Residential District and C1 Lowland Resource Conservancy District to R2 Suburban Residential District and C1 Lowland Resource Conservancy District. On tax parcel number 222-013-0010, located in the southwest quarter of section 1 in the town of Summers. And who is here this evening? Could you please come forward, state your name and address for the record, and tell us why you're here.
Hi, my name is Susan Sorensen. My address is 1315 35th Avenue. I'm here on behalf of the new owners of my previous home that did not want the land that we are splitting off. I have papers that are signed, our real estate papers that prove that I am acting on their behalf for Paul and Susan Graham of 3119 4th Street. I am here to have the rezoning and a land split done on the property. We lived there for 12 years and basically put the house up for sale, and we had to take the deal when it went through. We couldn't wait for the land split. I started this in plenty of time, started last December, but we're just now being untabled and here to actually have the things happen. We had a little glitch with Summers. They left one of our items off the agenda. And my husband and I, not knowing about the government things, didn't even realize it. We went to the meeting and thought we were done. And last month, Ben called me and said, I don't have the notes from Summers about the land split. Make a long story short, I'm here tonight. So my husband couldn't make it, sorry.
Okay. Any questions? Supervisor Skolitsky?
Just to clarify, you sold lot one, you're keeping lot two?
Yes.
And eventually you'll do, you know, but that's what we're talking about.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. And there's some conservancy, but we understand all the places where you can and can't do that with the county. My certified survey map was in with the county sent things to my surveyor yesterday to send things back, and we haven't heard back yet. The final.
Any other questions?
Thank you.
Anyone to speak in favor of this petition? Anyone in favor? Anyone against this petition? Anyone against? Andy from the town?
And just to mention is that with this item having been tabled, this was also posted in the Kenosha News on January 30th and February 4th. In regards to the rezoning request, the town board did meet on this on January 14th, and the motion for approval will carry 5-0. And also at this time, I'll let you aware of when the surface survey map comes up later in the meeting tonight. The town board did approve that on March 11th. The motion for that was 4-0 in approval.
Thank you, Andy.
I make a motion to approve the rezoning.
Second.
Subject to the conditions.
Conditions?
I have a first by Supervisor Decker and a second by Supervisor Skoliski. Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Your rezoning is approved.
What about the land split?
It's coming up.
Okay. I'm not going to leave until I know about this item.
As I mentioned earlier, item number 9 is still tabled. Number 10 is our certified surveys.
And we do have a certified survey map for the Sorensons, and there is a list of conditions for it, and we would request that this be approved subject to the conditions.
I make a motion to approve the certified survey map subject to the conditions.
Second.
I have a first by Supervisor Decker and a second by Supervisor Skoliski. Are there any questions? No questions. Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Certified survey map is approved. Now you're done.
Thank you.
Sorry. Item number 11 is approval of minutes.
Make a motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
First by Supervisor Decker, second by Supervisor Skoliski. Any questions on those committee on those minutes? Seeing no questions, youth and governance?
Aye.
Ready?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. The minutes are approved. Item number 12 is citizen comments. Do we have any citizen comments?
Yes.
Okay, please come forward, state your name and address, and tell us why you're here.
First of all, thank you for this opportunity. My name is Gary Glatz, and this is my wife, Leela. We are property owners at 40322 97th Street, Lake Benedict Shores Subdivision, Kenosha County. And I am chairman of the Nipissing Bowl Committee. The chairperson of our Board of Commissioners, we've been working with the town of Randall for some time on an issue involving flooding, and we have determined it would be illegal dumping of water into Lake Benedict. This goes back to a 2008 flood situation in the area called the Nipissing Bowl, which is east of Lake Benedict. The town came up with a plan to put a pumping system in and underground pumping. They had informed the district that when they were doing this, and they said the original plan was to pump any flooded water from that swampy, stagnant bowl into golf course ponds. When the district was informed of that, they agreed. For a number of reasons, that dumping site did not work out, and the potential grant money, which ended up being over $100,000, was about to expire, and the town decided, well, we'll just divert the water into Lake Benedict. They did not inform the district commissioners of this, at least a number of the commissioners. I started to study the situation, and determined that there was a natural outlet to this area that was blocked. It was blocked illegally by a couple of devices. One of them was a berm that was built blocking the natural water outflow. And the district took upon its responsibility, with the permission of the property owner of that, Mr. Bob Petrus here, who owns the land where the water exit flow goes. After he bought the property, this berm was built illegally, and no one has taken ownership of that. But with that having been removed, that did not completely resolve the issue. As I informed the town, and we also had requested the Southeast Regional Planning Commission to do a study. They had two environmental PhDs do a detailed on-site study, reviewed by a number of people in the DNR, and presented to the town by the chief environmental engineer, Surpat. And they made recommendations. One was to restore the natural flow, to remove the berm, and the town's roadway, which they had built after the original development, was elevated. The roadbed was elevated and was blocking the natural outflow. And it was recommended that the culvert that they set, which was too high, would be replaced. So the town rejected all of the recommendations from the Regional Planning Commission, even though these people were highly qualified. We had hired a separate independent consulting firm, Hay & Associates, which members Hay & Associates had, some members had over 30 years DNR experience. They rejected their recommendations. I solicited the review by the EPA's chief national stormwater specialist, Mr. Tom Davenport, who reviewed the study and also recommended, agreed with the recommendations of the putting in a new lower culvert and the removal of the berm. Town has rejected all those advances. So we took it upon ourselves to say, look, we will pay. And the reason why we could not put a new culvert in is we were able to remove the berm because it was outside of the right-of-way of the road. But since the culvert was under the town's road, they had control of it. So we then went to the DNR Department of Transportation, which has regulations for all culverts under roads. Did a site visit. The town chairman and their engineer, who was behind all of these projects, was there. And we had also had done some detailed surveys showing the proper elevations that we identified and came up with a position for the new culvert and agreed that we would pay for that and meet all their specifications. The town said that they wanted to write an agreement that said that for any reason, their engineer could decide to permanently block that culvert that we would put in and charge us for. I looked up a number of state regulations and statutes, and those conditions are clearly in violation of those statutes. They have the right to set certain conditions, but they do not have the right to set conditions that could either cause health problems for the people in the lake, or potentially damage the road by causing the road to be undermined by water because of the elevated culvert. During this period of time, we also had water tested, and we had independent tests, and we had it taken to the Burlington Public Works facility. It was in the summer, and the E. coli readings were literally off the chart. And the director of the public safety facility there, Connie Wilson, said there is no way in that water should go into the Lake Benedict. You're seeing here to the area to the right. Yeah, that is the bowl area. And we have photos going back to 1930 that show the waterway unobstructed. And before the town's road was built, there was a gravel road there, and when water would flow into the bowl, it would just flow over the road. But when they put a high roadbed, high asphalt road in there, and a high culvert, it stopped the flow. The town actually said that, well, what happens is that the water from the lower bowl there, which you see, the bigger body of water, they said it backs into the Nipissing, the center boulder. That's not the case. In 2008, when they had that terrible flood, and the residential area there flooded, not a drop of water from the lower pond flowed into that area. What happens is, as you can see here, when the lower pond gets water, excess water, it floods the 16th hole of the golf course. We think there are some ulterior motives for why they don't want to allow the water, the natural flow, to be restored. But I have also, I've got two, I was asked to prepare a couple summary documents, what I have. And Kimberly, I believe you've spoken to Chairman Badami of our, and you asked us to do that. And I've listed some of the relevant regulations and statutes and a number of relevant facts here. We're basically asking for Kenosha County's directive to say that, look, you've got a blockage that's out of compliance. SERPAC, the EPA, an independent consultant, and the Department of Transportation have approved the recommendations that the district had put forward and agree that this natural flow should be restored. And we're asking for the county to induce the town to abide by the state regulations, DNR regulations, and also federal statutes. And that's where our understanding is that we will be referred to the Land and Water Committee, and we'd be more than happy. We've been working on this for a long time. Fortunately, as this situation has been very well documented over the time since 2008. And by the way, in 2008, there were a number of residents who protested to the town saying, why are we putting this big system in, all these underground, all of this digging in the wetland, when all you have to do is restore the flow to prevent the roads from being overflooded? And they said, well, we're not going to consider that. So it's we've given them umpteen opportunities to, and we brought in a lot of independent experts, and unfortunately we're hitting a stone wall, so we're looking for some help from the county on this.
Can I ask a question? The natural flow that you're, first I want to say you, I think you've done a very good job. You've done your homework and come very well prepared.
Thank you.
My question is, the natural flow, would that affect recently constructed areas, or where would the natural flow go?
The natural flow would go into the golf course. No residential area would be affected. It's proven that the lower pond can flood the 16th hole of the golf course without one drop of water from the Nipissing Bowl going there because it's been blocked. But apparently someone felt that it would be in their interest to, one, build an illegal berm on Mr. Petrus' property, and two, for the town to leave that culvert high. The town had originally agreed and stated in their DNR application that that stagnant water is a health hazard. But then when we asked them why they're pumping into Lake Bennett, they said, well, it's no longer a health hazard. They said their number one concern was that elevated water levels would undermine the roadbed and would damage their road. Now that in the 2008 flood, that water was in there for about 45 days, no damage to the road at all. But we went with their premise, and we showed them that their elevated culvert would allow the roadbeds to get saturated. And we took the laser controlled measurements and provided them to the town, and they said, well, we still don't believe you. So it's just a matter of literally obstructionism in face of all the experts' detailed studies and facts. And we warned the expert, we said, don't be surprised if you're going to go away from this board meeting shaking your head. When they say 2 + 2 = 4, the town people says, the town board says, we don't believe you. And that's basically the facts that we've been working with.
Sir, can I just clarify for you for the board here? When you're talking about the lower pond, are you referring to this up here? If you look at the map, is it this area right here? This one? Can you see that cursor there?
Yeah. In fact, I'll give you. Well, here. This is a little bit better area here, and I'll put. This literally shows a natural channel. This is a photo.
Yeah, I'm going to just point for you up here, as you're showing right here.
This area right here. There's a natural channel that runs right through here. Mr. Petrus' property is right there.
there's a culvert right here. The culvert is actually not in the natural channel. It's about 15 feet away, and it's too high. It's called a perch culvert. The natural channel runs right through here. That's clear. You can just see that. And the culvert is sitting here about a foot too high. The berm was behind there, and it was literally about a four-foot-high berm, completely blocking that. But the removal of the berm would allow high water to flow down into here. But the problem is the water would rise to an elevation that over here on 95th Street, portions of that road, there's the low point here, would actually be saturated, where the water would be right up there and would be saturating the roadbed. And since the town said that they would pump water into Lake Benedict if the roads that started getting saturated, irregardless of the health issues, that's a threat to us. So, and their culvert is clearly out of compliance, and I've got copies of the statutes I'll leave with you, and also a master for the Water and Land Committee. So we think we are very well documented. We have all the experts are backing up our position there. It's the same position, but we're getting stonewalled by the town.
Sharing one, we'd appreciate it. And I tried to distill this into two pages of bulleted facts that we stand behind 100%.
Mr. Platts?
Yes, sir. Okay.
A couple things. How often, or what is the frequency of standing water in that bowl?
Of what?
What is the frequency? How often do you actually have standing water in that
bowl? What's interesting is that area was originally called Nickerson Bowl Park. The true wetland of the area is this area right here and a little pothole right up there. What has happened is in high rain, this whole area can become underwater. And that's what leads to the unhealthful water position, because these are terrestrial plants, not aquatic plants. We've got dog feces, we've got a lot of other things that, nutrients. And when this whole area gets stagnated, the people were complaining about the smell, and that's when the E. coli readings literally went off the go off the charts. This area actually was a park at one time, and it was 99% of the time usable as a park. But when this elevated roadbed blocked the natural water flow, it becomes a flooded area. And unfortunately, wetlands naturally filter and purify water. But all these areas here in the little tiny pocket, they're really only in the parts that have aquatic plants. But no amount of evaporation and percolation can get rid of that water. It just sits there and stagnates and smells. And unfortunately, those are conditions that would cause it to be pumped with Lake Benedict. A couple years ago, we averted a near disaster. You may recall that the area in the plains had some severe flooding. And the 100-year flood was happening all over again. We missed that downpour by about 30 miles. Had that happened, this water would have been pumped uphill quite a few feet and down underwater and released right here into, this is a shell, this is about a 1 foot, 2 foot area of water. This is the most environmentally sensitive portion of Lake Benedict. When the whole lake is put up to 30 feet deep, this area here in the summer will be 85 degrees. And you're pumping that. The other thing is that water, because it's not a natural wetland, it's terrestrial land here, gets clogged with silt. It's black. And this is natural white sand clay area, so this would all be blackened. And you're pumping high E. coli counts into the shallow water, high temperature area, which the experts say is probably the worst place we'd want to put it. what happened to be the closest and most expedient for the town.
So is it fair to say every year during the spring melt, that bowl fills with water?
Yes.
And it stays filled with water all the way through the fall?
There will be times in the summer when it will dry down.
Perhaps like last summer.
Yes,
summer
there will be times. But in that other photo here, and the survey actually came up with a 1930s photo that showed that natural water channel going from there to Lower Bowl. But interesting, as you can see, there's also a large pond up to the north there. And those are two large ponds. The Nickerson Bowl is a tiny little, two little wetland potholes. But if there's no natural outlet, they will become inundated and then stagnant, and all of the percolation and health problems start.
Am I correct in as I look at this, that the natural pathway would lead into some residential developments?
It would lead right through this area here. And into this, these houses are sitting way back up here. It's a very high hill here. And these are hidden. So the natural, from here, what it does, there's a wetland area here. You can see it, I mean, on the larger map. I don't know if it goes down. Oh, okay. See this area here? That's wetlands. Those are reeds there. They are designed to take the water from here and go there. There's no reeds up here. Because the shoreline is high enough, and Sorpak noted that in their study, that if it gets hot, it's going to go here. And this is a par 3, number 16 for us. As far as I'm concerned, it makes the hole a lot more interesting if you have a water hazard here. But history has shown that it basically, it'll rise up, it gets to this whole area soggy, doesn't go beyond that, and it will eventually percolate into the ground as it naturally should.
Gary, if I may, to Mike's point, if I may call you Mike.
Absolutely.
There's only, to answer your question, no residential pieces of property will be influenced by the water running off that way. That's why we donated our lot to say, if you guys can go back to its natural way, you can run down there. And what it does, you can see about three or four homes. My lot would go like to the top of those three or four homes, and it would run on the backside, which is a natural runoff to that water containment that would take you down to the golf course. Okay, so it would not go by actually. Gary, you know as well as I do.
This area will go up some here, but the berm was put right about here in the worst flood this area has had in recent memory, 2008. Water here never got close to the berm, but it did expand down and out that way. The town keeps telling us, well, we don't want it.
But the point is, I think.
So are those lots, though, they're zoned residential. But you own one of them?
I own one of them, and all the lots that you see that are there by people who may own them, it's on the back side of the lot, which would give this body of water, okay, a shoreline that shrinks up and shows up. Okay.
Is that your lot right where your hand is?
My lot would be a little higher. I'm guessing there is this.
That one right there?
That's what I would guess too.
Now, if that becomes a natural flowway,
yes.
Would you be, and I'm not sure, but I believe you could rezone that then to either conservancy or wetlands or something along those lines. Is that something you'd be willing to do?
I've already.
Because otherwise, if you build something there, then we've created a problem.
I already donated essentially property to be protected geotechnically.
Okay,
so that was why we donated that property.
Gotcha.
Sorpak noted that there is a very clear bed and banks that can be seen, and it's about 6 foot high. It's just a natural channel where if you sit down and walk this, the banks are about this high up. It's quite wide.
Okay. I'm not, I guess I should say, I've never experienced the DNR really giving you choices to do things. They just tell you to do them to get them done, or you end up either court or something that. So I'm surprised if the DNR has supported your case and has presented things that the town of Randall has been able to resist.
Well, the DNR was conflicted here. There are two different departments of DNR.
The town, to do this project, actually filed a report with the DNR. Unfortunately, that report was falsified. They said that this bowl here is a natural kennel with no outlet. And they also said it's a kennel with no natural outlet. And anyone who knows here knows it's absolutely false. But they couldn't have gotten their project approved without making that statement. So the DNR, at first, was not too pleased, but with ice being under their attention, their position, look, we cannot verify all the facts and figures of all these projects going to us. However, Mike Luba, who was the supervisor of the person who ended up approving this, said that was highly controversial. But then when we determined that it was the Department of Transportation that has responsibility for that, we did a site visit and we went through the facts and said yes. And they actually approved the specifications and positioning of the culvert. Well, they said it's not, they don't see it's their responsibility to push these things, since we're asking for permission, and even though their existing culvert is non-compliant, they said it's up to us. So that's one reason why we started talking to some of the representatives and officials in the area and said, okay, you're going to have to take your case to the people that have responsibility for looking over the statutes or regulations and enforcing them. I mean, believe me, Dennis Elman, who is a member of the county board, said, why?
Elman.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't talk to our chairman. Did.
Okay.
He said, why hasn't this in the papers? I personally have been asked many times to do an interview and discuss it. It's an embarrassment to the community that we haven't to fight this fight. And it wouldn't do no one any good. And even the DNR said, look, you're trying to preserve, you got very highly valued property here. And we're trying to preserve the reputation. We have a very good district. We have people who are very concerned about protecting the lakes. And we're trying to get this resolved without making it a public issue.
Well, sometimes it's you have to do. It doesn't strike me as a massive amount of water that would flow down to this pond. However, who owns which golf course and who owns it?
It's the Nipissing Country Club.
Okay.
And that's the country club that reportedly said they would accept the water to begin with. Also happens to be where the chairman and his buddies play golf every weekend.
Yeah,
and
okay.
We're told that there's a little...
To answer your question, his name's Kapores.
Yeah. Okay. C or K?
K.
And have you guys had discussions with him, with the owner, to see his level of... Because you know, he may be concerned. Listen, you flood my course, I'm temporarily out of business, even though...
Well, we're not too pleased because he originally, it was reported and documented in writing by the town that he had originally agreed to accept the water. But then after, right as 2 years of planning were in place and the funding was there and everything, he said, well, I'm not going to accept the water unless you give me multi-site zoning so I can put in condominiums. Basically, held them up. And I don't know if this story is true or not, but that's what we were told. And the town said, look, we can't do that. We don't have the responsibility, so we'll just find another place to dump it. And they said, we'll put in Lake Benedict without telling the Lake Benedict district about it. I'm being quite frank here, because unfortunately that's the nature of the situation.
Supervisor Dodge. My question is, I don't know whether the final decision on this is going to land with the DNR, the Land and Water Committee, or is that something that will fall upon us? And I'm not quite sure where that jurisdiction lies. Can you tell me, Andy?
Excuse me, can you repeat that again?
Where does the jurisdiction to resolve this lie? Does it land with the Land and Water Committee? Does it responsibility of the DNR, or can this be resolved by us?
Point, my best understanding of what's been presented on this item is it's really a town issue and or potentially a DNR issue.
So they supersede us, the town?
Well, this road is a town road and anything dealing with waters of the state is a DNR.
What about this? I cited a number of state statutes that they're in clear violation of.
Yeah, sir, when you bring it up, I can't comment on
I'm not happy to evaluate
here.
That.
Yeah,
but
we would need some time to look this over and do some investigation on it. Supervisor Dodge.
To give a comment to Supervisor Dodge's question, when I had an issue on Lily Lake, I had Corporation Council do a little research, and basically we have no jurisdiction in state statutes over any lake. As a county, we have no jurisdiction over lakes. It's either the DNR or the local municipality. That was from Corporation Council.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think you've got a real PR, public relations mess, because the DNR end up a little mud in your face if they push it, because they prove something like this. We're not in a position to force or compel the town to do anything. And you've got background, or I should say forces behind the town there that are working against you. I mean, that's my take on it. There's a reason culvert recessment or lowering of the culvert is not a big deal. It doesn't do that in a couple days, right?
That's right. We offered to pay
something else here that is holding you guys.
Well, here's the point. Rooker Milkey, who is the engineering firm that causes, they gave themselves a $50,000 fee to plan this project. There was another $100,000, and that wasn't even presented to some of the board members. That was a surprise to the board members. There was $100,000 that was spent unnecessarily with state and federal grant money. That's serious. That's felony. They don't want to. They have been adamant that they're fighting to their death on trying to justify the spending of that money, which was totally unnecessary. So we're talking about, you know, we'll go to the district attorney if we have. I've spoken to the environmental division of the Department of Justice. They're very concerned about this, and this violates the Federal Clean Water Act. But they're saying, work with the officials first. Now, I know that the Obama administration has been very active, and they have given out six-figure fines to developers that inadvertently broke some of these rules. Now we have a town that blatantly has violated these rules, and we want the officials to know, the legislators to know. We're going to be talking to the district attorney, and we'll talk to the Department of Justice if we have to, because clear violations here, well-documented, in writing. And the town has no win. The only way they win is if we give up. And they're doing everything they can, including intimidation, beratement. They raised our taxes. They brought the assessor in at one of these meetings and said, we're going to lower everyone's taxes and we're going to raise the people on the lake's taxes. Because we think we can do that. We want to. So, I mean, they're trying everything they can. Because they have no win in this.
Supervisor Decker.
So basically, let me ask, all you want is the culvert lower.
Speak up.
Yes. Yeah, at this point, if we lower the culvert, that would eliminate the need for them to ever pump water into Lake Benedict.
And you believe
I would disagree. We would like to have no water to be pumped in the lake regardless.
Yeah.
Because but you're saying if the culvert was lowered, there would be no water.
There should not be a need for the water. Because of the natural flow over the years. I own that property for over 30 years, probably.
Right.
And the
before the water was put in.
The sewer pack and the other businesses that you hired, they believe that lowering the culvert is what will solve the problem.
Everybody's in that agreement. And of course, when we talk to the town, they're letting us know that you guys, you want to make the change, it's fine. And because we said we're going to pay for it and do it. And they're saying, but you're responsible for this and that. And we had a preliminary meeting. We're trying to have you in this detail work, because that's, I guess, if you will, kind of boring for you folks. But the bottom line is, we have gone through that stage. And for the most part, I'd like to say that the DNR reflection, current DNR reflection,
yes,
is they can't understand why we can't get the town to say, go ahead and do it.
And the latest they gave us is that they said they want us to sign an agreement that says that at the sole discretion of their engineer, that they can, at any time, for any reason, they'd allow us to put the culvert in, but they can permanently block it and charge us for that. And now they're sending us a bill for $2,000 for their legal fees on this, and we never agreed to that. We said we would agree to pay their costs for the approval of the culvert. So they sent us a bill that we have to ignore. And based upon the statutes, they are violating the statutes that govern the intergovernmental agreements of this type on two major ways.
Could you give us your name and address for the record, please?
Yeah, Robert Petrus, P-E-T-R-U-S, 9510 402 Avenue, Genoa City.
Genoa City mailing address, we're at Kenosha side.
Right. Okay. And then which statutes are they actually violating?
On that last page, there's the bottom of the page, there's an agreement for a statute 86.07, where they're allowed to make such additional rules, regulations, conditions not inconsistent with the deemed necessary. And we agreed to those about the specifications, the maintenance, the paperwork. But then they said, that could harm the preservation of the highway. Their own high culvert, by their own definition, could cause an undermining of the roadbed of the highway. And if they allow that to pump it into Lake Bennett, it clearly violates safety of the public by that clause, and by determined by the Department of Public Safety out of Burlington. So,
and the commentary, by the way, from the town has been, don't worry about the bacteria, just give it a few days, it'll aerate and clear out. Okay, and we said, and that's why I'm saying we don't want to pump at their will, because in their agreement, that's what they were asking for, pump at their will. We have no say in saying you can, you cannot. We're not out to, you know, to do anything here except to protect the lake and the general public that's involved in the lake.
Yeah, and so I just want to try to clarify. A lot of information has been presented here, but one is, you're with what association?
The lake association.
It's the Lakes Management District. We are a taxing body, and we have
Benedict Lake.
Benedict Tombaugh. There are two lakes.
Okay, yes. And so, is your main concern the potential pumping that could occur of this water into the lake?
Absolutely.
Do you have any concern in regards to the ponding of the water in the bowl if it never gets pumped into the lake?
Well, if the natural flow is restored, it won't. And our concern is that the town said that, again, they're ignoring the health hazard. They're saying that if it ponds to a level that can saturate the roadbed, they will be required to pump it into the lake.
So
rather than,
I guess what I'm understanding is it's not that you have much as high a concern about if the water ponds in the pond.
Well, the residents do, because they were concerned about the smell.
I don't know that. I mean, I'm just listening from what you're saying here, but your main concerns are about the water be pumped into the lake.
Right.
And that at this point, has the water been pumped into the lake?
No, it hasn't.
Okay.
We've come close a couple times, but unfortunately, we just missed that one event that definitely would have caused
it. What you're thinking is a solution for it never to have a chance to get pumped into the lake is what you're saying is to restore the natural waterway which headed to the golf course.
Yeah.
And that way, there is no potential for it to need to get pumped to the lake, and this ancillary benefit is that there wouldn't be ponding water in the bowl that causes this smell.
Right.
I'm trying to just sum up, I think, with what
and we actually worked with the SERPAC and the DNR to set a level that would not dry the natural wetlands, preserve the natural wetlands, but still not allow it to overflow the area and become highly toxic.
One more comment, and then
okay. We respect the time that you're giving us. Okay, thank you. Doesn't go without being yours. The park, the so-called park that we're referring to in that area, how that all evolved, it was never a park that anybody could play in because you had nothing but marshlands in there, basically, and pumps and things like this. When I say pumps, in the fall, you know, 4th of July, blow them out. But it was always a bad place from the viewpoint of odor. I'm going back now. I'm 82. I'm going back at least 35 years. I got the history about from people that I know that have been there about 50 years before me. That was always there. What happens is people from Chicago came in, they formed a business corporation and bought up all the land around that pond, okay? And then what they did is they said, we're going to donate this pond to you, and they went on the map as a park. That's the only park. You could never, ever walk in it without going, you know, maybe mud, ankle deep mud, even on a dry day. And it was always an area of mosquitoes and things like that. It was a good natural habitat for some birds and that type of thing. And the houses were built, in this one area, I think that might be a little area of consideration had to be given, on that low end. And it was always, always that way. There has never been anything else but this low-lying wetland. And that's a fact. Now, we never ever had any water, again, going over until the new roads came in. I'd like to emphasize that, okay? Because when the roads were at its normal levels, it would run across the road to my lot, run off into the golf course, and I was a golfer, and I used to hate that son of a gun, because now you got to bypass the par 3. And that was it. And that's part of the reason why at one time they tried to pump. They actually put an extension to go over the road and pump it into those two water bodies that were in the golf course. And saying, see, you still got a problem because we're still getting water in here. And going back to Gary's point, which I think he did a great job technically and everything else, in explaining how this lake or this chain of lakes are not going uphill, they're going downhill. Okay. So that's the basic problem, is trying to prove to these people that the water level is sinking its height, and we would not have that problem again if we go mechanically to what we're talking about. But if we do get an agreement to do that, that's only part of the battle. Because again, why would anybody want to contaminate a lake like Dunnetic Lake that you're advertised in the paper as one of the cleanest lakes in southeastern Wisconsin?
That's documented.
That's
one of the cleanest.
But if you're going to permit bacteria flowing into that lake, you're going to get a lot of things you don't want. And there's public beaches on that lake now.
Thank you. I think what we'll do is, Andy, if you could have some conversation with Dan, and maybe if you could pass this over to Corporation Council and just have them look it over. I don't know how much investigation we can do on this. Maybe they want to have a conversation with you guys, and I don't know, maybe I'll get involved in it.
Yeah, I think probably at least with this point is that we need to digest some of this information that you've provided us. Even though on initial look, it appears that the ordinances you're citing are state and DNR and the issues that they would have jurisdiction over, but at least for the committee's sake, I think we'll look into this. We'll try to gather the information, and then at our next session, we'll try to present what we know of where things are at, and then the committee can make a decision if they have any other way that they would like us to go. But at this point, we understand your concerns. We're not going to take them lightly. Although, at this point, I'm not aware that we actually have any jurisdiction to be able to do anything. But with the chairman asking me to look, we'll check with our corp counsel to determine if there's anything there that we have any jurisdiction over, and then they'll have information that will be presented to them next month.
Supervisor Dodd.
First, I want to thank Chairman Pruning for allowing this much time to citizens' comments, because I've never seen something take this much time to citizens' comments. But I also thank Andy for his commitment to look into this. I'm very sympathetic with your position, and I'm not an expert on it, but one of the suggestions that I'd offer is maybe the state attorney general to be contacted also. I mean, cover all your bases, and God bless you, and good luck. Thank you.
We agree, and we think we're doing the bottom up. And I've done this before in Illinois. My wife got me involved in a project, and we learned that we have to work with the local officials and move up the chain to earn the steps that we go. But we will go as far as we have to, and thank you for that.
Thank you.
Again, we appreciate you. Yes. Off the record,
next time we'll come and bring a six-pack for everybody. I don't drink. Oh, damn it. Are there any other citizen comments? Any other citizen comments?
Yes.
Seeing no other citizen comments, is the
because we are working with both of those.
Yes.
Do I have a motion?
We have.
Any
other
business?
Two items. One is I'd like to just mention that for next month there will be four items on the agenda, and it's actually four items, but just two topics. And the other thing is I guess officially the last meeting with this.
I think there's one more.
Committee. There will be one more?
I think there's one more.
Okay, then I can say what I will say next. Until next month.
Okay.
Motion. Thank you.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
First by Supervisor Decker, second by Supervisor Scalise to adjourn. Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Aye. We're adjourned. Thank you.